But how is the church going to persevere? The church cannot persevere without prayer. How does the husband hang on? How does the family hang on? How does the individual hang on? How do we hang on as people, as the church? How do we persevere? How do we fight temptations? How do we endure false teaching? How do we persevere through persecution? The answer is in our text today, three words: pray, pray, and pray.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and we're thankful that you've joined us here in the middle of our series entitled Let Me Tell You a Story. We're diving into the parables that are unique to Luke, and today's parable takes us to the persistent widow, the parable that Jesus begins by telling us to keep praying and to not lose heart. We're praying for that for you today, too, loved ones, that this parable would draw in you the love and the calling to keep praying. Luke 18, and here again is our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
He knew there would be an interval between his ascension back to his Father and the moment where he would return back to earth and gather his church. This time period is called the age of grace. It's the age that we're in right now. It's the age of the church. So Jesus is anticipating this interval of time, and here's what he knows. We pray and we are watchful, meaning this, and I hope you figure this out. The Christian life requires perseverance. The Christian life requires hanging on. The Christian life requires a dedication to what is true and the perseverance to not give up. I mean, you know this, right? Like, the Christian life is not meant to be easy, but it's meant to be amazing. And so this time period that Jesus is giving us, the age of grace, that millions may be ushered in salvation and be saved through the gospel, this is the time we're in right now. And this is what he knows. So he says, hey, church, he says, don't give up. But how is the church going to persevere? The church cannot persevere without prayer. How does the husband hang on? How does the family hang on? How does the individual hang on? How do we hang on as people, as the church? How do we persevere? How do we fight temptations? How do we endure false teaching? How do we persevere through persecution? The answer is in our text today, three words: pray, pray, and pray. And by faith, then, I cannot lose heart in prayer. That's number one. And here's number two. And by faith, I will persevere in prayer. So I won't lose heart, but I will persevere. So look now at the parable in verse 2. And here's the actual story Jesus tells. Now he says this. Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, this is amazing, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? What's happening in this parable? A couple of things are. First of all, we have an unjust judge. Notice, two times in three verses, we are told that this judge neither fears God nor respects man. Why would the Word of God do that? Jesus wants his disciples to know and not miss the point. This judge was an unfair man. Now, the reason he's telling us about the judge being unfair, he's setting up the contrast of the perfectly righteous and fair judge, our Father in heaven. So we have an unjust judge, but then we have a widow. We don't know for sure, but she's most likely weak and very poor. We do know for sure she's been wronged. In the context of when the story was told, widows were among the most defenseless in Jewish society. The Old Testament speaks of widows being oppressed and taken advantage of. They were often the victims of legal matters like we see within our text here. But it's here that the widow now becomes the focus. And what do we learn from this parable regarding her behavior? We notice a couple of things. Number one, we notice that she was persistent. In verse 3, it says she kept coming to him, that she would not stop asking. Notice her hope and her strategy was her persistence. She would not stop asking or going to this judge until she was vindicated. And this is remarkable for us, the clarity it brings of how Jesus wants us to relate to him in regards to prayer. Jesus, again, is insisting on our insistence as it comes to seeking him within prayer. The same way the widow would not give up until she was vindicated with justice, her strategy of persistence is to be our pursuing of the Lord relentlessly in love of him because what he's done for us, and primarily then through prayer. It's amazing when you see that. Are we persistent in prayer? So when I was sitting in the Las Vegas airport, and I was with my second son, Cale, and we're sitting in the terminal waiting to come home, and we had lots of time. I'm the kind of guy who prefers to get to the airport early so I don't have to rush through all the frantic stuff of security. So we had a few moments to wait there, and of course, there are slot machines in the airport terminal, of course, right? And there they are. And my son, Cale, and I were just kind of waiting there and reading whatever and just watching. And we saw these people just playing these slots and playing and playing and playing and like just would not relent. And so persistently. And of course, my son, Cale's never seen anything like this before. And he's like, Dad, what's up with that? You know? And it was actually turned out to be a bit of a gospel moment for us. And be able to sit there and just say, okay, look what these people are doing. Like, what happens if they won? What happens if they won all the money this machine could muster? It would never turn out to be anything of any value. It just wouldn't, but they think it will, so they keep pursuing the things and the persistence of the playing and the lever for like minutes and minutes and an hour, and just like, I haven't really seen this stuff before either. I'm just like, wow, man, that's sad. That's sad. And the thought came to me though, like, but said to Cale, like, you know, Cale, in the gospel, man, like, you have the Lord, you have everything. But what if the believers in the church, oh, this is so needed for us. What if the believers in the church went after the Lord the same way these people are going after the slots? I mean, honestly, like, what if the same fervency? Like, the persistence is astounding. The persistence of their idolatry to the point that they're willing to ruin their lives over it. But you flip that spiritually, we're supposed to spend our lives to save it for the gospel of Jesus Christ with the fervency and the intensity and the desire of going to him and going to him and going to him. Oh God, that you would do that in our hearts. Oh God, that you would do that in our church. Oh God, that you would give us this going and crying day and night for the Lord. The widow was so persistent. We learned this. She was so persevering. In verse 5, it says, the judge says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, literally in the original language, that is causing him trouble. In our day, a translation could be a phrase that we would use is, she's driving me nuts. She's driving me nuts. Like, just wearing him down with her continual coming. Do you have people like that in your life who drive you nuts? From time to time, that might or may not happen in our house and home. Dad, can I? 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 You know what I mean? It happens like, and just you're like, are you for real? Like, you've been asking forever. Dad, can I? Dad, it's like, ah! You know, I'm like, fine, just if you stop it. That's bad parenting. I understand. But at some point, you're just like, oh, wow, like this incredible perseverance of this request. And that's what's happening within this text. This widow was hounding this judge and walking around. And I think he probably was embarrassed because she was weak and poor. And at some point, she's asking, he's like, if you stop asking me, if I give you what you want, you leave me alone. The text is saying, beat him down. Literally, gave him a black eye, like a boxer, like stunned him to the point of his embarrassment, just saying, I can't take it anymore. If I give you justice, will you be gone? And then this is what happens. Her persistence, her perseverance. Notice the judge didn't give in to the fact that she was weak and poor. The judge gave in to the fact that she was just driving him crazy. And that's why at the end, she received what she was asking for. Now, this becomes a fascinating parable for us. And here's the question, well, how do we apply this to us? What are we to make of this now? Well, let's first understand what the parable is saying and what the parable is not saying. What the parable is saying is that we are to be like the widow. We are to be persistent in the pursuit of God, in the persevering of seeking the Lord in prayer. But the parable is not saying that God is like this judge. Our God is not someone who becomes worn out by our petitions and gets fed up with us and just says, you stop hassling me, I'll give you. That's not what this is saying about our God. No way. The truth is God loves his children. God delights in his children. He loves to bless his children and protect them and answer them. Rather, the reason this parable is so powerful, and here's really the take home for the whole day. If an unjust judge who neither fears God nor man relents to a weak and poor widow, here's the contrast. How much more will a perfectly heavenly father respond to his children in persistent prayer? Again, that's the take home right there. How much more will a perfect father in heaven respond to us? Because look at verse 6 again. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Right? So let's compare. And will not God, there's the comparison. And will not God, the perfect, holy, awesome Father in heaven who loves his children perfectly, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? So loved ones, within this parable, there's no question that Jesus is saying to us, he says, my child, I challenge you to keep praying. There's no question. In some form, I challenge you to keep seeking me. I challenge you to keep praying. There's no question within this parable that Jesus is saying this in some level. I'm not done answering, so you're not done praying. I'm not done answering, so we're not done praying. Implicit within this parable is this. Our Father requires persistent prayer. Implicit within this parable is our Father works within persistent, persevering prayer. But listen to this truth also implicit within this parable, and this is key. Our Father does not answer all prayer immediately, at least not in the way that we would like. So please see that truth. This is the truth on prayer. And look up here. This is so important. Look up here. Ready? If we give up on prayer, then we miss out. If we give up on prayer, then we missed out. Last month, we had a baptism service. A sweet, dear saint in our church. Her name is Kalpna Howarth. She was baptized, and she had an amazing story within her testimony of persevering prayer. Most of you would not have been able to see that. So instead of me telling you right now, let me just show you what took place last month in that service. Here, watch this on the screens.
I stand here not because I'm perfect, but I stand here as I'm a forgiven child of God. I'm especially grateful to share this moment with my brother, Pierce. Many years ago, I was uncomfortable attending his baptism as I was still a Hindu. He has been praying for me for 33 long years and has waited patiently for God's perfect timing. He has traveled all the way from England for the weekend to share this baptism with me.
Amen. Amen. And we want to praise God for him. He's here. Piyush, would you just stand? We just want to praise the Lord for you and your... Amen. Prayed for 33 years and flew in yesterday, is flying back home to England tonight. Praise the Lord. We're very thankful that you're here. And upon your profession of faith, Kalpna, it's a delight to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 You want to clap? Let's clap, man. That's for the Lord. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. Just imagine me helping his brother, 33 years of prayer, real life example. I mean, flew in from England for the weekend and leaves. Just imagine the faith that he left with. Imagine if he gave up, you know? I mean, God is sovereign. We understand all that, but he uses the prayers of his people. I mean, who's that? Who is that story? Who's here today for that story right there? You know, sometimes we pray for 33 minutes, let alone 33 years, right? But the challenge is do not give up in seeking the Lord. It becomes about him. It becomes about our reliance and our love for him. Listen, you're not done praying because God's not done answering. find it so interesting too, as we think about when God delays in answering prayer, why does God sometimes do that? It's a very interesting question. I wrote down a couple of reasons. Why does God sometimes delay in answering prayer? I think one of the main reasons is first because God wants to show us and reveal to us just how serious we either are or aren't. God wants us to see how serious we are in seeking him in this way. I think a second reason too is like why God delays in answering prayer sometimes, because when we are in our most desperate places of brokenness and dependence, what happens? That's when we draw closest to God. And God loves you. Hear me. God's not excited when we are off in the world in idolatry. God is he's jealous, perfectly jealous for our love. God is jealous for me and you. So when he has us in this place and we're so close to him and we're broken and tears are being shed and we're ministering in the presence of God and by his grace, God really likes that moment. And I don't think he's in a huge rush to send us off into a place where we're going to forget about him again. You know what I'm saying? Like, he will use the trials of our lives as we seek and pray to him to draw us so close to him, because that's when we're really in the safest position. I think sometimes too why God delays in answering prayer, because he wants us to see what we truly love. What is it that we're really living for? What is it that we're asking him for? Is it really about him, or is it about us? Is it about his will, or is it about our will? And he wants to show us as we learn about our own hearts of where we are within this life. Always remember this, loved ones, and this is good. This is important. Delays in answered prayer are not to change God. Delays in answered prayer are really to change us. And that's good enough. Let's write that down right here, as I want you to see that. Delays in answered prayer are not to change God, but ultimately, it's about changing us. This is why by faith, I will not lose heart in prayer. By faith, I will persevere in prayer. And thirdly, this we'll see from our text, by faith, I will see justice in prayer. Look at verse 6 now. In verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them. Notice, speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Again, our context in this parable is the return of Christ. And if the unrighteous judge relents, what will a perfect, holy, and awesome father do for his children? The answer in these verses is this. He will give justice. He will give justice to those who call to him, who do not give up seeking him. Indeed, he will. And notice two things about praying day and night for the justice of God. When is God's justice perfectly fulfilled? It's perfectly fulfilled when Christ returns. So as we pray for the justice of God, we are also then automatically praying for the return of Christ when he comes to make all wrongs right. So within this text, it is completely good, proper, and biblical to pray that Christ would return. And he says, will I find faith on earth? So Jesus says, you keep praying and you keep watching for my return, because I'm coming. I'm coming speedily, he says. So in one sense, we're head bowed and eyes closed and we're praying, Lord Jesus Christ, return. Would you return? And then the other sense, we're kind of looking up and saying, is he coming yet? Is he coming yet? And oh, Jesus Christ, return. And then kind of one eye open and we're looking up to see, that's so good and so right. Please, Lord Jesus, even so come. Maranatha, return, Lord Jesus Christ. And then looking and saying, is today the day? This is what Jesus Christ wants. The justice that he will grant to his church, to his bride, to his children who cry to him day and night, the text says. Give us justice, O Lord, in the times of persecution, in the times of difficulty, when you return and all these things are made right. It's amazing. It's amazing. He says he's coming speedily. And some will say, I've been waiting a long time. Church has been waiting 2,000 years, but always remember that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. In the context of eternity, this is nothing. It's nothing. Don't let our judgment of time become God's judgment of time. We're learning here, what is it, loved ones? Now's the time to pray. Now, 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 now. Now's the time to pray. For some of us, we've never prayed really in any significant way. This could be the turning point of our lives. We can't grow in Christ. We won't see God work. That relationship with him that is growing again through prayer. And the end of verse 8, it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, notice this, will he find faith on earth? What does that mean? Will he find faith on earth? It means this. When Jesus returns, will he find his church waiting? When he returns, will we be waiting or will we be preoccupied with the things of the earth? When Jesus Christ returns, it means, will he find his church longing, singing of his return, praying about his return, looking for his return? When Jesus Christ returns, will he find his church seeking him and again asking him to do this? When Jesus Christ returns, will he find his church looking up to heaven and filled with faith? Know this, when the Son of Man returns, he will be looking for those who are looking for him. And that's one of the great signs of the gospel within our lives. If we are truly saved in Jesus Christ, washed by the blood, by what he has done, if he has rescued us from death, because he took our penalty and paid for our sin, and now we are new creations in Jesus Christ. If we are truly saved in Christ, what happens? We long for Christ. We look to Christ. And if you, like me, saved in Christ, you groan for your ultimate redemption, where this body becomes perfect in Christ and the reality of salvation is fully seen in him. You groan, Romans 8, for what is to be perfectly fulfilled as we see Jesus Christ face to face. So you see, one of the realities of the gospel in us is prayer from us. It's a longing for Christ. It's a desire for his return. This is the fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If all we ever do is look around and focus on here, that's not a good sign. Because the Holy Spirit within us is like, seek, pray, long for him, look for him, live for him, love him. That's the child of God who's growing in the knowledge of the truth found in Jesus Christ. But how is this accomplished? How do we look and long and wait and all this stuff? How do we do that? How is this accomplished in the midst of life? It's hard with trial and evil and persecution and discouragement. How does the church not only survive but thrive in such a difficult environment? The answer is prayer. And that's because the essence of prayer is help us, God. Help us, God. Loved ones, we can never, ever lose heart in prayer. So by faith, I will not lose heart. By faith, I will persevere in prayer. By faith, I will see justice in prayer. And that naturally then leads us to our fourth point. Look up on the screen for it to show up. There it is. Now, there's a smiley face beside that point because it's not technically in the Word of God, right? But it's a very important application to this message. Doesn't that make sense? We're learning here. There is no real relationship with Christ apart from prayer to him. The urgency of the church and the need for prayer. So by faith, he's like, hey, don't give up, my child. I'm not done answering prayer. And he calls the church to pray. It is hard work. We will be tempted to be discouraged. So that's why by faith, I don't lose heart. By faith, I persevere. By faith, I pray for justice. And by faith, listen, I will show up this week. By faith, and I pray with faith, I will show up to the week of prayer. You're like, what do I do again this week of prayer? Because a lot of us, we're convinced and we're convicted. And we're like, yeah, that's a good thing. I want to engage with my family members in Christ here at this church. Three things you can do when it comes to this as we end here. The first one is this. You got to sign up. The four pillars out in the foyer for the time slots of Monday through Thursday. And I saw the evenings, most of us will be working or preoccupied during the day, but early mornings, or maybe take a lunch break, or you can get in here, you can sign up to come, or the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday evenings in the family room, the Wednesday night here. Sign up for these things in the foyer if you prefer to show up in the evenings for that as well. You can sign up. Secondly, this, show up. Get ready. Whenever we go to battle or go to pray, they're like, the battle's on. It always is this weekend and this week. But the glory, the things that Jesus Christ will do, sign up, show up. And then thirdly, this, send up prayers. Send up prayers to the Lord. And you can start sending up prayers to the Lord right this very moment. Because the reality, a lot of us, the Lord is speaking to, and the Lord says to us, my child, there's so much I want to do. Will you not ask? Will you not seek me? Will you not believe in the things that I will do to wholeheartedly through a church that believes in this? Let's pray right now in regards to prayer. Let's pray. Let's quiet ourselves. Let's seek the Lord. Father, I pray that you are convincing men in this church right now as to the power of prayer. Like utterly convincing men. Men who are called to lead their homes, Lord. Men who are called to be examples for their children. Men who are called just to be examples for Christ throughout their life. And without a doubt, Lord, there are men here right now who have not really engaged in prayer, but I want you to see this, men, today, but don't be discouraged right now, but receive the grace of Jesus Christ. See, this is the gospel. The gospel leads us to love more. And as we love God more, of course, we pray more. See how those things happen together? Like, you can't separate that. The more I love God, the more I speak to him, the more I look to him, the more I depend on him, the more I pray to him, right? So it's not like, oh, I got to pray more so God likes me. No. I pray more because I love God so much, because he's loved me. So Father, I pray for men here right now. Convince them, convict them, but encourage them. Encourage them. Today is a new day for you in regards to prayer. For women in this room right now, women listening to this message, who have been fighting discouragement, who have been longing for the things of Jesus Christ, maybe who have been also preoccupied with different things within life, I pray you would convince them of prayer. Encourage them in prayer, that they would not give up, that you say, my child, I insist on your insistence towards me in prayer. That's awesome. Oh, fill the women of this church to pray like never before. I pray for the young adult, the child who's even here right now. And some of them have never really prayed ever, maybe ever. They've heard about it. They've heard a couple people do it before, but they themselves have never prayed. And I pray by the gospel of Jesus Christ, they would see that they are sinners and need a Savior and desire so much to engage in a true, authentic relationship with the living God through prayer, by grace, through faith that leads to prayer and love towards God. And for our church, oh Lord, we ask, revive us in prayer. Bolster us in strength through prayer. So simple, Lord, in some ways, so simple. Why don't we pray more? And yet so difficult at the same time. So we ask you, would you empower even this week of prayer? Would you encourage many to sign up, many to show up, many to set things aside for you for 1 week and to say, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it because I love the Lord. I believe in what God's gonna do. Oh Lord, would you do that? Turn this community upside down, because there's so many people who are petitioning you for your grace and glory to be seen. And even, Lord, as we sing right now, I pray many people in your church would be so glad to sing of your praise, to sing of your returning, oh Lord, that we long for you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, even so. And when you return, I pray you will find faith on earth. You will find faith, us longing and loving and praying and asking and seeking you. One by one, family by family, small group by small group, church by church, would you do this? I pray gladly in Jesus' name.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.